All right, that was tremendous. Appreciate that, Brother Cruz. That was a blessing. And, you know, we have something so important like the symbol of the flag and what it represents and all that it represents. And then we have something like the symbol of the cross and all that it represents. And we can remember those things, and we need to never forget those things. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Joshua, if you would, please, in the Old Testament. Right after Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, then you have the book of Joshua, and let's spend a little bit of time in chapter 1 of Joshua this morning, and we'll talk about an essential exercise for the Christian, an essential exercise for the Christian. We'll see it here in Joshua chapter 1, and we'll look at a few things together here in for a few minutes' time. It is a little bit different to have our baccalaureate and Memorial Day kind of combined this morning, but I do believe they go together. I believe that without the Memorial Day and all that we can remember, those that have sacrificed and died and given their lives for our freedom, we wouldn't have the freedom to have a Christian school today and to teach our children. We wouldn't have a free society and the enterprise for them to enter into. We wouldn't have any of those things if it wasn't for what has been given for us in the past. So I think they all go together, and they're built and connected and joined together this morning. So I believe it, as we look to the scripture this morning, the Lord will help us see the importance of an essential exercise for the Christian, which is remembering. It really is. Having a remembrance and remembering the things that have been accomplished for our benefit. We'll look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 this morning. We'll read that very familiar verse number 8 here in just a little bit, even though my comments won't just be directed at it this morning, but we'll look at the several verses here. I don't know. I know the we don't have all our graduates here, but I'm thankful for the ones that we have here this morning, and I know each one of them, and I doubt they got to see the news this morning, so I wanted to read them a press release of something very important. I know when I was a teenager, and that's been a little while ago now, but I remember an important entertainment icon that really had an influence on my life, and I think it still had been influencing teenagers even to this day. There's a press release about him this morning, so I want to talk about just for a second, and then we'll get into the message, okay? Please join me in remembrance of a great icon of the entertainment community. The Pillsbury Doughboy died yesterday. He died of trauma, complications from repeated pokes in the belly. He was 81 years old. Doughboy was buried in a lightly greased coffin. Dozens of celebrities turned out to pay their respects, including Mrs. Butterworth, Hungry Jack, Betty Crocker, and the hostess Twinkies, and Captain Crunch. The gravesite was piled high with flowers. Aunt Jemima delivered the eulogy and lovingly described Doughboy as a man who never knew how much he was needed. Doughboy rose quickly in show business, but his later life was filled with turnovers. He was considered a very smart cookie, but wasted much of his dough on half-baked schemes. Don't groan. Despite being a little flaky at times, he was still a crusty old man and was considered a positive role model for millions. Doughboy is survived by his wife, Play-Doh, three children, John Doe, Jane Doe, and Dosey Doe. Plus, you might not have known this, but they had one in the oven. He is also survived by his elderly father, Pop Tart. The funeral was held at 3:50 for 20 minutes. I'm sorry for that, but I just thought I would throw that in there this morning. It actually does speak to, not to my heart, but to other parts of me, bigger parts of me, actually. But I want to get past the silliness this morning to talk about something that's important, and that's for us believers to have an exercise in remembrance. And I think it goes with this passage that we're going to read this morning. We'll see several things that are very important. But you know, we can talk about Memorial Day and the origin of Memorial Day, and there's even some quite a bit of discussion, maybe even debate, as you go back through our nation's history and how Memorial Day rose up and where it got its beginning. Some will go back, like me, maybe to the South, where the ladies, some of the organized women groups in the South, some of the ladies' memorials, they would go and after the Civil War, and they would place flowers of remembrance in the graveyards, and they even had a hymn that came out published in 1867. I believe the title of the hymn was "Kneel Where Our Loved ones are sleeping. And that was those that had given their life in the war between the states. And then in 1868, a northern general there, the General John Logan, he was the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic. He actually proclaimed a Memorial Day to be observed on May the 30th. And that would traditionally be where the official proclamation came from. But here's what's interesting. You know what war does? It actually it can tear apart a nation, or it can unite a nation. And after World War I, basically that's when even the southern states began to observe that May 30th Memorial Day. But here's what happened. Here's what happened. You know that it became official, an act of Congress, or the National Holiday Act of 1971, passed by Congress, made it a three-day weekend for federal holidays. So now it's the last Monday in May. There's still some out there today that are trying to get back to that May 30th date, because when you just have a Monday, last Monday in May holiday, it just becomes part of a three-day weekend, like it has become. And if it's May 30th, you observe it no matter when it falls, is what they're trying to talk about there. So, you know, Memorial Day doesn't carry with it the punch or the emphasis that actually it should. And many, my generation and other generations, have forgotten how important that day is. But we should not forget how important the sacrifices and the lives that were given and the blood that was shed. I mean, you're talking about people that fought and lived and died for what they believed in, and we're still today reaping the benefits of that. Yet so many people are out of touch and disconnected with that. We should never allow ourselves to get so disconnected with something so important. And that's why I think these verses here in Joshua 1 should be important to us this morning. Joshua chapter 1, let's look at it together. This is what God's going to be talking to Joshua about. He's going to be having a conversation with Joshua himself. Let's look at it. Joshua 1:1, the Bible says, "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's talk for a few moments this morning about an essential exercise for the Christian. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we are thankful to be gathered here this morning. Thankful for all that you've done for us. Thankful for this day of remembrance that as a national citizen of the United States of America, we have much to be thankful for. We have much to remember. Father, we have much to honor. Father, I thank you for the graduates that are here this morning, Father, and the time that they've put in and what you've brought them through and where you've brought them to, Lord, and all that you have for them in the days ahead. Father, I pray that as we look to your word this morning, that our thoughts and our heart's desire will be directed toward thy word. Father, may we give you first place. May you have our attention this morning. Father, may you have our affection. Father, may you have our response this morning in faith. I pray that you'd bless this time together. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just like there's some things to remember nationally, and as a citizen, of the United States of America. There's some things we should never lose touch or lose contact with. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's some things we should never lose contact, never lose touch with also. And I believe here we see an example here as God speaks to Joshua. We see some lessons and some help that'll help us as believers living today. Now, I could talk a lot about the book of Joshua. It's an incredible book. It means so much. It pictures so much. You know that the name Joshua means Jesus the Savior. You understand that, right? We know that the importance of even the name of the word Joshua, the name of Joshua. But this book actually pictures a lot of things for us as believers today. This book is a forepicture of the time in the future when the true Joshua, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, he will appear. That's what the scripture tells us in the New Testament. And he'll gather all his people to himself in the heavens. And he's going to make war against all those principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. He's going to make war and they're going to be kicked out of the land, so to speak. They're going to lose their position. They're going to lose their place. And then those of us that are in Christ Jesus will gain that position and will gain that place. That's what we have in Christ Jesus. That's an application for us and what we have in our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like the nation of Israel went to the land that was promised by their heavenly Father, by the Lord God, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they went into that promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey, and all the ites in the land, the Canaanites and all the rest of the ites, had to be expelled and ejected from the land so they could have their inheritance. That's going to happen. That did happen. It'll happen again. It'll happen eternally next time it happens, and it'll go forever and ever. We'll get the heavens, the church will, and the nation of Israel will get the earth. And there's much I could say about that, but I'm just going to throw that out at you real quick. But that's what we have in Christ Jesus. That's what this book pictures. It also pictures the Christian life. And that how by believing God and living by faith and in the energy and in the yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, how God gives us the victory even as we live down here on earth. God gives us those victories and that rest that we need here in this life down here on earth. And God has a little talk with Joshua to remind him of some things here at the beginning of this book. And I think they're very important. And I want to look at three things this morning quickly that God wanted Joshua to remember, and it would do us good to remember also. The first thing here I see in verses 1 through 5, and I won't take the time to read all the verses. Let me just look at verse number 5, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses." Was there any question in Joshua's mind that God was with Moses? Did Joshua see God's presence with Moses? Did he see his face shining so bright that when he came down from the mount, after God had met with him there on the top of Mount Sinai, and after he came down, no one could even look at the disposition. That's not the right way to say it. Couldn't even look at the complexion of Moses because it shone so bright. You know, if you've been with God, it's going to shine in your life. Others are going to see him shining that light. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven," the scripture says. He saw that. He saw that when the sons of Korah gathered against Moses in rebellion, he saw something supernatural. When's the last time you saw the earth open up, swallow some people straight into hell, and close back up after them? He saw that. He saw some great deliverance, and he says here in verse 5, "As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that something for Joshua to remember each and every day of his earthly life down here? I believe it's a good thing for us to remember also. He remembered what God had given in verse number 3. "I've given unto you, as I said unto Moses, all that land." That inheritance that I've given. If God gives it, then it's given. Amen. He's the one that owns it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. He owns the taters that grow that'll grow out of the hills. He owns it all. So if he gives you something, then you've got it. He remembered what God had given him in verse 3. He remembered the supernatural deliverance that God had granted there in verse 5. "As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." There's some things we need to remember. You know what it is? Number one, we need to remember the victories that God has won. We need to remember the victories that God has won. As the graduates are sitting here this morning, and we call them graduates, but it don't actually happen until Wednesday. So be on your best behavior. Amen. We're going to have a graduate of our school and even our college that's going to come preach their graduation service on Wednesday. So we're excited about the special services. It's going to be a blessing come Wednesday. But I'm sure there's a lot of things that they can remember. So many of us in here can think that they're so young that, of course, there's so much life in front of them, but there's a lot of memories that are flooding through their mind. And you can think back to when you started all the way back in kindergarten and go all the way through high school like that. There's so many things that you can think of. I remember hearing about a little girl who came home to her mom, and the little girl told her mom and said, "Mom, today at school I got punished for something I didn't do." And like all good mama bears, this mom got upset, and she goes, "Well, I'm going to call your teacher right now. What exactly was it that you got in trouble for that you didn't do?" And the little girl said, "It was my homework." And of course, little Johnny, we always got to talk about him when it comes to school days. And little Johnny wasn't getting very good grades. So one day, he kind of surprised his teacher. He walked up behind her and tapped her on the shoulder. She was kind of startled, but he told her, he says, "Ma'am, I don't mean to scare you, but my daddy says if my grades don't get any better, somebody's going to get a spanking." Somebody probably did get a spanking, amen? And maybe some of those memories come flooding back now as you sit there and think about it. But there's so many things you can talk about and so many times that are sweet and so many things you're glad that you went through and it's in your past now. If you think about it, no matter what you've been through or what you're going to, it's best for us to have a little memory lesson. It's good for us to on purpose stop and remember the things that God has brought us through, the victories that He has won. You know, God was just about to send the people, the nation of Israel, into a land filled with wicked, filled with nations that were very skilled when it came to war. Now, that had to be a scary thing for that new nation, the nation of Israel. I mean, you can think about it this way. You got a brand new nation being birthed, coming forth out of Egypt, and they're coming, they're going to stand on their own two feet. If a nation comes against them in war, they got to stand against them. They got to battle. It's not the Egyptians that they would be fighting. It'd be the nation of Israel they'd be fighting. And that would have to be a little bit of a fearful thing and kind of a scary thing. And I'm sure God knew that it was just natural for the nation of Israel to have some fear with these greater and mightier nations around them, the nations of the land of Canaan. Yet, think about it this way. God tells them in verse number 5, he tells Joshua, he says, "Remember this," he says, "I will be with thee, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." No matter what we face in life, do you understand whether it brings fear to you or not? Do you understand that if you have the Lord Jesus with you, there's no reason to be fearful? There's no reason to be upset because he says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know, when it comes to facing college or when it comes to facing a career, when it comes to facing this old world, and that's what you have to do once you get out of school, there's no reason to be fearful because if you have the Lord Jesus Christ with you, you have everything you need to succeed tomorrow and all your tomorrows. That's what the scripture teaches us. We need to remember the victories that God has won for us, and the greatest victory that can be won is the victory of salvation. I'm talking about salvation of our soul. I'm talking about salvation from our sin. The greatest victory is salvation from our sin and the bondage that it brings. You don't want to be under the bondage of sin. You don't want to be a slave to sin in the days ahead. You don't want to be a man or a woman that enters into the world, so to speak, and have sin being your taskmaster each and every day, like the children of Israel had back in Egypt, where they had those Egyptian taskmasters saying, "Do this, do this, do this." No, you need to make the bricks, and you have to gather your own straw now. All the things that they did to them, that's how the world will treat you. It won't have compassion on you. It won't love you. And I'll use you for a little while, but it'll cast you aside. No, you need the Lord Jesus Christ with you. And the greatest victory that's been won is our forgiveness of sin, our salvation from sin. And that's what Brother Cruz was singing about a moment ago, the cross. What Jesus accomplished on the cross, the greatest victory that's ever been won, that ever will be won, is what God's only Son did for us. I hope you know him this morning. No matter who you are today, whether you're graduating high school or whether you're assembled here together with us this morning, maybe you're visiting in the area because of the holiday. I don't know what the situation is. The greatest victory that you need to remember today is the victory of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's God that became a man. He lived that perfect life. He died that sacrificial death. He rose again the third day. That's the greatest victory, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope today that's something you can remember because you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you haven't done that, it's like going out to fight all the inhabitants of the land on your own, in your own power. Oh, they're more skilled than you. And they're very wicked. Don't expect them to exercise compassion on you at all. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have him in you and with you and beside you, and he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me hurry on to say this. Not only do we need to exercise ourselves today in remembering some things like the victories that God has won, but we need to remember the lessons learned from past trials. The lessons learned from past trials. If you can think back to your school days, you can think about all the trials that you go through, the trouble that you get yourself in, or sometimes somebody else gets you in, but it's trouble nonetheless. Or you remember the struggles that you had, or when you look at life in general, there's just hard times that you go through. There's no such thing as living life down here not experiencing some form of bad times or hard times. It might be sickness, it might be family troubles, it might be relationship problems, it might be school problems, but yet you're going to have some hard times. Verse 6, the Bible says here, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them." I bet Joshua could sit there, and as the Lord's talking to him, he could remember why he could be strong, because he saw God show up so strong so many times in the past. As we said a moment ago, he was with Moses, and he was with the children of Israel, and he reached down with a strong and mighty hand and delivered them time and time again. What about the trial? What about the trouble of Egypt and Pharaoh? You can put a check mark beside that because God delivered him from that. The most powerful nation on the face of the earth at the time, God gave them victory over them and the ruler. You can think about being hungry and thirsty in the wilderness, starvation. What did God do? You know what? You know that God, and we talked about this before, but let me say it this way. Do you know that I can take this Bible and show you where there's cornbread in heaven? Does that excite your soul today? Amen? Thank you. That's the best amen I've got so far this morning. Go from the Pillsbury Doughboy to cornbread. Amen? There is cornbread in heaven. That's what the Bible says. Are you a Bible believer this morning? Okay. Psalm number 78, if you want to, you promised me you'll turn back to Joshua. Let's go to Psalm number 78. This is one Bible study a few of you are actually interested in. Psalm number 78. Look at it. I'll give you time because I didn't mark it, so I'll give you a little bit of time to get over there. Psalm number 78. Look at verse 23. The Bible says here, "Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of" where? Of heaven. What came out of the doors of heaven? Verse 24, "and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven." Verse 25 says, "Man did eat angels' food." Not angels' food cake, but angels' food. If you ran the reference to Psalm 105, and I won't take time to turn over there, verse number 40, it calls manna the bread of heaven. So here, scripture with scripture, Psalm 78, the corn of heaven, Psalm 105, 40, the bread of heaven. Hey, there's no other conclusion to come to, but as a Bible believer, there's cornbread in heaven. Amen? What are you supposed to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb? I want some cornbread with my lamb chops. Amen? Mint jelly is optional, but the cornbread is not, okay? You understand, even though I'm being a little bit silly this morning, you're talking about over 1 million people out in the wilderness. How are you going to feed them? There was no little lad there with his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How are you going to feed them? Well, just open up the clouds, open up the doors of heaven. That's what the Bible said happened. And angels' food, the corn of heaven, the bread of heaven, fell down. And when they saw it, they said, "What is it?" That's what manna means. What is it?
What is it? And they could take it and they could eat it like it was, or they could take it and they could grind it up and they could make it and they could bake it and they could do all kinds of things with it. They could deep fry it in a deep fryer. They could do all kinds of things and they could eat it. And it was good food and it's what they ate day in and day out. They didn't grow anything. They didn't kill anything. God dropped it out of the sky for them. It's going to happen again, and that's a Bible lesson for another time. When Israel's persecuted in the tribulation period in the future, God's going to again feed them supernaturally, but I won't talk about that except for what I already said. But we see that there's cornbread that God gave them. He supernaturally delivered them. What about thirst? We talked about the water from the rock. Springs of living water speaking to the rock, and the water brought forth, and it was enough to have all that people quench their thirst and gain their nourishment for that day and for the days ahead. God had brought them through the past trials. You know, today, what we should do is remember the lessons we learned when we faced trials in this old life. If you're here today as a graduate about to graduate on Wednesday, you ought to remember what God's done for you in the past. And even in your youth, you can probably think of some things that God did for you. That not you did for you, or a man did for you, or another person did for you, but that God had to do for you. You got to think about that. And when we remember those past trials and those lessons we learned and how God taught us things, taught us and brought us through those trials, you know what it's going to do? It's going to keep us humble. It's going to keep us humble, and it's going to remind us to continue to depend on God. Because, you know, there will be trials in your future also. What should you do when you face those trials? You should, once again, rely on God and depend on Him. Remember lessons learned from past trials, but let me hurry on to say, number three this morning, we must remember the source of all blessing. We must remember the source of all blessings. Look at it, verse number 7, back in Joshua chapter number 1 this morning. Turn back there with me if you would. I got to turn my own Bible back there. Joshua chapter 1. Let's look at verses number 7, 8, and 9. Familiar verses, but let's read them again. The Bible says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." You see the word prosper in verse 7, and then in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous," there's that word again, "and then thou shalt have good success." Have you heard before that the only time the word success is in the Bible is right there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8? The formula for success is tied to the Word of God. See, he says, "Observe to do all the law." Verse 7. What did that mean to Joshua? That meant Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's what he had. He says, that book right there, that's the book of the law. The Mosaic law, the law of Moses right there. He says, everything that's in there, you need to heed it. You need to think about it. When should you think about it? Daytime, that's when the sun's up. When should you think about it? Nighttime, that's when the sun's not up. You should think about it day or night. Think about these words that I've given to you, because that's the way you're going to prosper in life. Well, today we don't just look at Genesis through Deuteronomy. We have Genesis all the way through Revelation, don't we? Amen? And this is a book that should not depart out of our mouth. This is a book that we should meditate in day and night. It's important for us to do that. Why? Because if you want to have success down here on earth, if you want to prosper down here on earth, this is the only formula for it. No, I'm talking about true prosperity. And I'm talking about true success, not the false, deceptive things that Satan offers. See, what Satan does to young folks and what Satan does to me and you is he tries to deceive us by getting believers to get distracted. Distracted by the things that the world offers, the forms of success, the forms of prosperity that the world presents. If he can get us to worship the works of men's hands, like houses and cars, toys, boats, etc., whatever you want to put in the blank there. And by the way, how do we worship those things? By living our life to try and acquire those things. He makes our purpose of our life and the purpose that we're living and breathing day in and day out to for the acquisition and the enjoyment and the use of those things that are just gonna fade away. He tries to get us off track. He tries to distract us. He tries to destroy us by tricking us into thinking life's about something that it's not. It's not about materialism. It's not about modern forms of idolatry. No, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ and eternity. That's what life's about. See, you understand that there's some that have fallen for that and they've lived their life and even by the world standards, they've been successful and prosperous and they've acquired things like houses and boats and cars and toys and all kinds of things and lands and properties and businesses and companies. They've done that and yet then they don't have anybody here to even share those things with? You want to sit in something sad, be a part of a man that's given his life to those things and accumulate a lot of those things and then sit in and see how his family acts when it comes time for his will or his trust to be read or carried out? Talking about, there's no love there. There's no relationship there. See, people sacrifice what's most important, their relationship to God and their relationship with others to acquire all these things. They put the people they love the most or are supposed to love the most to the side burner and they pursue and pursue and they work and they work and they acquire and they accumulate and then what do they have at the end of their life? Nothing but a big mess and a big fuss. See, great big old house, that might be great. But what if nobody's in that house? What if you go home to it and it's empty? What if it's your birthday? Or what if it's Christmas? Or what if it's Thanksgiving and you have nobody to share those things with? Seems kind of empty and vain and meaningless, doesn't it? And that's happened so many times and Satan deceives and deceives. And you know why he keeps doing it? Because it keeps working. People keep being lied to and believing it. When this is what's most important right here. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know him and have a relationship that you're concerned about day in and day out, morning and night, if you're worried about your relationship with God and the book that he's given you, then it's going to help you with a relationship to everybody else. And then you'll have a life full of love and joy, and you can be like some of those folks that you read about in the Old Testament book of Genesis, where they died and they died full of days. They were gathered to their people. All the family gathered around. It wasn't a time to fight about what Dad had. It was a time to love Dad and to exchange those sentiments and those emotions and that love that God had brought in this earthly life. See, sometimes you need to look at how things end so you'll know today how to take the right steps and go the right way and choose the right path. And this book will make sure you have a good end right here. The end will be prosperity. The end will be success. The most important thing is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's not about what you can do. And when it comes to graduates today, there's going to be all kinds of speeches and lectures and sermons on you can do anything you set your mind to and you can accomplish everything and anything and that's good and it has its place, but just understand, we're not talking about you in and of yourself. You will fail. The inhabitants of the land will eat you up. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, then the sky's the limit. There is no limit, in fact. You have everything if you have Jesus Christ. Don't allow yourself to be puffed up with pride, but humble yourself and realize you need God every day. And the way to fulfill that need every day is to be in this book every day. Know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and nourish that relationship day in and day out. You will have success. You will prosper. It reminds me of the young preacher who was ready to preach his first sermon. Oh, he wasn't just a guy that came up out of the pew and was a layman in the church. No, he'd been off to some type of Bible school or seminary or something, and he came back to his home church ready to preach his first sermon, and he was so proud. I mean, you could just see he was puffed up. You could just see the pride was oozing from his pores. Like one fellow said, he was so proud the devil couldn't stand him. He just was puffed up and proud, and he was gonna rock that home church and let them know who he was and what he was all about. And he was waiting for a great day of celebration and notoriety. So when it came time for him to mount that pulpit, I always like when a preacher says they mount the pulpit, but anyway, he was ready to mount that pulpit and preach the roof off. He had his chest stuck out. He had his shoulders back. He had his head held high. Oh, he had the demeanor. He had the disposition. He just had the mannerisms of someone that was somebody. Yet he opened his Bible and tried to preach that day. And like it happens many times for many of us preachers, words came out backwards and sideways and flip ways, and he was stuttering and stammering around and coughing and couldn't clear his throat and couldn't read his notes and got lost his place and couldn't find his references. And boy, it was just a disaster, so much disaster that he didn't even try to finish the sermon after a while. He dropped his shoulders, dropped his head, closed his Bible, and began to slink down to a seat. And as often happens when you find yourself in a situation like that, a dear old lady thought she would give him some advice on his way back to his pew, his seat in the back. She stood up and she caught him in the aisle and she grabbed his arm and she said, "Young man, if you would have went up like you came down, then you could have came down like you went up. If you'd have went up like you came down, you could have came down like you went up." Think about it that way. We get to thinking too much of ourselves sometimes. Do you understand? There's only one way to go up. No matter what is the correct message for today, there's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to get to Jesus Christ is to realize who you are, a sinner that needs him, that needs his forgiveness, that needs his salvation. Oh no, Moses was a great man, but it wasn't Moses that brought salvation to the children of Israel. He could not lead them into the promised land, but it was a man named Jesus, the Old Testament Hebrew name, Joshua. He's the one that by grace brought salvation and inheritance and the promised land to the people of God. And today, the only one way you're going to inherit that, and that's through Jesus Christ. Do you know him today? Do you belong to him? Is he your personal Savior? I pray that he is. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll have a time of